third and four for the Eagles here. Murphy and shotgun. Here's the snap. He rolls left. He throws.
WZBC Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another WZBC Sports Radio podcast. I am Jack Salmon, joined with fellow board member Matt Marosco. And today, Matt, we're going to be breaking down this BC football remaining schedule and kind of what's gone down to this point in the season and what we can look forward to as BC tries to clinch another bowl game here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if BC is a win away right now, if we win one more game, we will set this school record for most consecutive seasons making a bowl game, which there's something to be said for that. But Jack, this team, I mean, you can't figure them out. They're an enigma. It's been a confusing process trying to watch this team here. And, you know, one week they'll go and look dominant, like this past weekend against Syracuse. They absolutely dominated on both sides of the football, barring a couple turnovers. BC was completely in control of that game. The week before, I mean, granted, Clemson's an outlier. Clemson's by far the best team in the conference. Clemson beat BC handily. So it's been tough to get a read on this football team.
Yeah, no, I've been saying this year they're a very bipolar team. They're either hot or cold. We can quickly just run through the games, right? First game of the season, they beat Virginia Tech by a touchdown. That's everyone's, oh, here we go. You know, it's a big win. And as the season's gone on, of course, that win over Virginia Tech does not look as good as the Hokies are having a very uncharacteristically down season. BC follows it up with a blowout win over Richmond. You're 2-0. Yeah. You go into Kansas on a Friday night, a game you're favored in by 3 touchdowns, and BC loses by 24. Definitely a tough pill to swallow. Then BC goes down and wins in Rutgers, albeit not necessarily an easy win. We were on the call for that game.
Right.
And Rutgers really did make that game close through three quarters, but ultimately the run game of BC just kind of wore out that defense. Then the next week, BC loses to Wake Forest on Parents' Weekend. Or I believe, no, that might have been home.
It was Parents' Weekend.
27-24, that was a ranked Wake Forest team, and that was a game BC should have won.
Yeah, absolutely.
Poor clock management down the stretch. You think of the missed field goal from, what was it, like 30 yards, and Bumeri hits the field goal, but it was a delay of game, gets pushed back 5 yards, and you get the poor snap, and so you don't even get to attempt it. There was another play where BC didn't go for a field goal. They went for it on 4th and 2, you know, within field goal range, and you don't get that first down. So some questionable plays there. Then Louisville. BC loses to Louisville 41-39, a game in which BC gives up a record number of total yards of offense. However, they score 39 points of their own, and that was the game that Anthony Brown went down with an injury. And if you remember, after that, Dennis Grissel, the backup quarterback, comes in and throws for 3 touchdown passes.
Yeah, one of the weirder stat lines I've ever seen. He threw for like 100 yards but had 3 touchdowns. I think he only completed 9 passes.
Yeah, and 3 of them were for touchdowns. Yeah. So then after that, you know, BC comes off of getting torched on defense. Then you play NC State, a game here at home, and BC wins 45-24.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, just flip-flopping between, you know, horrible on defense. So that NC State game was a very good defensive game. And again, that rushing attack of BC was unstoppable.
Right.
Then you mentioned it earlier, BC goes down to Clemson, the number 4 team in the nation, and the defense got exposed again in that game. However, that is Clemson. 59-7 was the final score. Definitely a tough game there. And then just last week, BC goes into the Carrier Dome and routes Syracuse 58-27. So it's really been a roller coaster of a season. You know, you see a lot of big wins, you know, blowing out NC State, blowing out Syracuse. But then you also, you know, Clemson's 1 point off 60 against you. Yes, it's Clemson, but that's still 60 points. You know, Kansas beats you by 24. You look at the loss to Louisville where you give up, you know, 650 yards. So it's really been an up-and-down season for this BC team, Matt. But as you said, you know, this team is in position right now to make a bowl game, to set their franchise record for most bowl games made. And, you know, they find themselves right where they were last year, you know, 2 more wins and you're at your usual, you know, 7-win mark.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think going into the season, if somebody said, you know, this team is going to have a chance to win 7 games without Anthony Brown playing the second half of the season, you would take that all day long. We know how much this team lost from last year's, one of the better teams that Boston College has had here in the last 2 decades. you know, you're a couple injuries away from a team that I think wins 9 or 10 games last year in a very, very good ACC. Now, you've seen the entire conference, with the exception of Clemson, take a step back this year, which I think explains some of the crazy scores that we've seen. You know, you mentioned the NC State game. This just isn't the same NC State team that we had seen the last few years. Same thing with Virginia Tech, right? So the conference as a whole has taken a step back. And I think you could make the case that Boston College is the third best team in this conference behind Clemson and Wake Forest. You know, Pitt's up there a little bit. But again, they're on the weaker side of the conference. I don't think Pitt's too good. Same thing with, I think, UNC and Virginia are 6-win teams right now. But again, those teams are beating up on the weaker side of the conference. And over here on the Atlantic side, you know, Clemson is your clear number one team in the conference. Wake Forest has been ranked. They've had one of their best seasons in, you know, recent memory. And then I think Boston College is right there. And if they're able to take care of business coming up against Florida State in the Red Bandana game, to jump to that, and then you have another somewhat winnable game, I think more winnable than most, down at Pitt to close out the season. You finish at 7-5 with 5 wins in conference. You take that all year in what was supposed to be a quote-unquote rebuilding year.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, BC definitely has a chance here. You're sitting at 4-4 in conference right now. Excuse me, 3-3. And, you know, yeah, you have two more conference games and two games that are winnable, right? You talk about Florida State coming in this weekend for Red Bandana. This is a Florida State team. We've talked about this our 3 years here. Florida State is just not what they used to be.
Right.
Fresh off of firing their head coach after a horrible performance against Miami last week. A very winnable game. And yeah, Pitt's an enigma too.
Yeah.
This is a Pitt team. They beat UCF back when they were ranked. Granted, UCF isn't the team they had been. They lost to Penn State by 7. That's still undefeated Penn State team. But at the same time, this is a team that barely got by Delaware.
Right.
And barely got by Cuse. And we saw how bad Syracuse really was last week. So that's definitely an interesting game. Yes, they're 6-3, but I think, like you said, they're beating up on a lot of the bad teams on the other side of the ACC. And look, BC sitting at 3-3. If they win these two other conference games, they would be 5-3 in conference, which, believe it or not, would be the best record Steve Adazio has had in the ACC ever. If we look back over his years here, he has 4 seasons of 4-4 play in the ACC, and then he had 2 down years, 2015, where, of course, they were 0-8 in conference, and 16, where they were 2-6 in conference. But Adazio has never done better than 4-4 in conference, and you can make a realistic case that this BC team could go 5-3 in conference, which would be a huge accomplishment, especially considering how this season began. You know, you think of the Kansas loss and the fact that Anthony Brown's been out for the second half of this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that this is a team that it's rebuilding right now, and I think that this team is only going to get better. I think you don't lose a lot, with the exception of A.J. Dillon, you don't lose a lot else off this team going forward. I think that the defense has started to gel as the season's gone on. I mean, we saw the defense give up record numbers of yards and I believe record numbers of points too throughout the course of the season.
Yeah.
So the defense, as the season has worn on, has gelled. They've looked better and better, with the exception of the Clemson game, you know, holding opponents under 30 points 2 of the last 3 weeks. The offense is still chugging along, and we still have a 4-string quarterback who's redshirting, who's ready to go next season. So I think this team is definitely moving in the right direction, and I think this team has a potential for a very quick turnaround from a team last year that was supposed to be dominant. And again, injuries got in the way of that. But you're looking at a year or two down the line, I think you're right back to being in contention for 9 or 10 wins.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think you talk about the major loss of this team next year is going to be A.J. Dillon.
Right.
Dillon having as good of a season as we thought he was going to have. He's playing. He's been fully healthy all year.
Yeah.
Credit a lot of that to Eric Bailey.
Yeah.
He's been a great number two option that's taking some reps away from A.J. You know, A.J.'s not having to carry the ball as much as he was his freshman year, for example. You look at Dillon. He's second in the nation right now in rush yards at 1,286. He has 13 touchdowns on the year.
On the ground.
On the ground, yeah. And this year he's broken the record for rush yards as a BC running back and total touchdowns. So breaking records, you know, clearly one of the best backs in the nation. But what I was going to say is when he leaves, you have Eric Bailey to fill that void.
Exactly.
Who is, I like to call him A.J. Dillon Jr. because he's the exact same kind of running back, right? 250, just, hard to bring down, runs through tackles kind of running back. Yes, you lose A.J., but you have someone who can step up immediately and fill those shoes, which is definitely a big plus.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that, like you said, Jack, you know, Bailey has been able to spell Dillon this year, and we have seen Dillon as healthy this late in the season as we've ever seen him before. Last year, he was hobbled pretty much from the Parents' Weekend game against Temple on, and he just didn't look like himself. I mean, he's still ground out yards. He's still a tough guy to bring down, but some of the quickness, the elusiveness, being able to sidestep guys in the hole, that wasn't there. We're seeing it this year, and he is, you know, he's a guy that was talked about last year, if he stayed healthy, potential, you know, Heisman finalist. Yeah. And he's putting up numbers where there's next to no talk about him winning the Heisman, and he probably won't. You know, there are too many good quarterbacks out there right now. But a guy who should be in the conversation to be, you know, finishing the top 10, I would say, in the votes for the Heisman.
Absolutely. I mean, just looking at the numbers-wise, I mean, he's second-best running back in the nation in terms of total yards. Yeah. He's up there in touchdowns. And you look at the yards after contact, too. Something else I wanted to bring up, I've noticed this throughout the course of the season. So Anthony Brown goes down with that injury in that Louisville game. And Dennis Grossell, who was the preferred walk-on, has stepped up. And he's really been all this team could have asked for, right?
Yeah.
I'm just looking at, he's started 3 games. He has not thrown an interception in those 3 games. He's only been sacked twice. And now, yes, he hasn't thrown for much, right? In those 3 games, he has 103 yards through the air, 53, and then 195 last week against Syracuse. And last week was clearly his best performance. 195 yards. He had 3 touchdown passes through the air. But how would you rank what he has done in these 3 starts since Anthony Brown went down with that injury?
He's been unbelievable. I think that he's done, like you said, Jack, everything that you could ask for and more from a guy who's stepping up in the middle of a season with an offensive line that's been rebuilt after we lost so much off our offensive line last season. And he's done his job. You know, when you have a back like A.J. Dillon and then you have a backup back like Bailey,
right,
you don't need somebody to go out there and throw for 400 yards. You say, go out there. If we need a pass, if we get into a third and long situation, we need you to be able to complete a pass. But other than that, just don't turn the ball over. Manage the game. Hand it off. Just play smart. And that's exactly what he's done. He's managed the offense very, very well. He looks in control of the huddle. And I like what I've seen from him a lot. And he is a gunslinger, too. He's shown flashes where he'll throw the ball down the field. He's certainly not afraid to. He's been smart, and they've definitely picked their spots. They've used play action very, very well with him. But he's got a cannon of an arm, and he can get the ball downfield when he needs to. So I think he's done all that you could have asked for or hoped for and more. And especially given our history with backup quarterbacks in the past, you know, we saw it our freshman year. Anthony Brown goes down, and
Darius Wade.
And the team just wasn't the same without Anthony Brown. This year, I think that Grissel has done all we could have asked for and more.
Yeah, no, I think Grissel, better than expected, right?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You mentioned what we've seen with other backup quarterbacks. Grissel has really been able to command this offense, right? And yes, this offense is a run-first offense, but like you said, when he needs to make a play, he's been able to do that. And he does have a very, very strong arm. He's more of a pocket passer maybe than Brown, right? Anthony
absolutely.
Brown likes to scramble. Brown, we've seen him run for touchdowns throughout his career here. He's a mobile quarterback.
Exactly. He loves to run the bootleg.
Exactly. Grissel, not as much like that. He's going to stand in the pocket, and you mentioned he does have that really strong arm. And I think he's been really, really good. It's kind of a different look on offense, really. Right, when he's going to pass, he's going to stand back in that pocket, and he's not afraid to fire it downfield. But no, he's been very good, and he's kind of given this team a little bit of a jolt of energy, really, as they've gone on to now, like we say, they're 5-4 overall, looking at 3-3 in conference. And, you know, you're, again, 1 win away from going bowling. And, you know, earlier in the season, we thought that might be out of the question. We thought this team might not even make a bowl game. You know, we're like, oh, Anthony Brown's gone. We just got smoked by Louisville. And now he's put them in a great position. Look, Florida State comes to town. We should mention this is the Red Bandana game this coming Saturday at noon. It is not a Friday night primetime, as has been the case. But still going to be that Red Bandana, that high level of energy. There should be a lot of people in the stadium. It's your last home game of the season. You have a chance to clinch a bowl game. So.
Yeah. And you're playing a team with a head coach who's been a head coach for about a week. So
exactly.
I like our chances there. And like you said, Jack, I mean, we both kind of wrote this team off for dead after that Louisville game. You lose your starting quarterback. You lose a game that was winnable. And we said, look, down the stretch, there are some games. Is it mathematically still possible? Of course. And we went through the schedule and we picked out games that we said, if you win here, this is a winnable game. Win here and here. And I think, what did we talk about? We talked about Pitt.
We talked about Pitt.
Syracuse. FSU.
FSU.
And NC State, maybe?
Yeah.
And NC State. We said, you got to go win a couple of those games. And we said, those are winnable games. But neither of us saw this team winning those games. And so far, they've won all of them. So I think that this team is going to make a bowl. I think this team has a chance to really, you know, I don't want to say maintain the status quo here, going 7-5 every year. But I think that, you know, there are years where you take 7-5 and you're disappointed with it, i.e. last year. You're disappointed with 7-5, given the amount of talent.
That was a 9-win team last year.
Exactly. That was a 9-win team that won 7 games. This year, this is a team that, you know, very realistically could have been a 3- or 4-win team. You say that you don't have you lose everything off the offensive line. You lose so much off the defense. Then your starting quarterback goes down. And now if you take 7-5 as a win this year all day long.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, we talked about those NC State and Syracuse games. It was like those are huge for one. Like, one, you have to win those games to put yourself back in contention, but those will show our true colors. And you beat NC State 45-24, and then you beat Syracuse 58-27. So it's not like BC's just scraping by. Those are dominating wins.
Exactly.
And NC State had the best rush defense in the ACC, and, you know, A.J. Dillon went loose on them for 223.
Right.
And against Syracuse, A.J. Dillon ran for 242 and three touchdowns.
Yeah.
So it really has been that ground-and-pound offense, right, Grissel as needed, but really just feed those backs. And that's been the strategy, and it's been working. So now let's talk about three games left on the season.
Yep.
We have Red Bandana this Saturday. Again, unfortunate it's not a Friday. I think the story there is it was supposed to be Kansas, and it got moved at the last second.
Yeah, so it was supposed to be Kansas, but there's a little bit of an uproar because Kansas is not a primetime opponent. It's not a conference foe.
The Red Bandana games have always been, USC, Clemson, Florida State.
Florida State, Miami. Games. Yeah, so it's always been big-time games. Kansas coming, granted, the way it turned out, we shouldn't have overlooked Kansas.
Right, but they historically...
Exactly. Going into the season, nobody thought that would be a good game, so it got moved. The problem with that is that now you can't change the day, so it still has to stay a Saturday because the schedule had already been released that it would be a Saturday.
Right.
And then you go into the problem of the six-day pick cycle where the networks choose what games they want at what times. And look, Florida State and BC, it's...
Florida State's under 500.
Under 500. BC's at 500. It's not a game that the ACC network wants on primetime when they have, you know, the other side is wide open. The Coastal is wide open to see who's going to win that side. And you have Clemson on this side. So you have a lot of other options for primetime games. So it's going to have to be at noon. But, I the energy will still be there. It's the Red Bandana game. I don't think it matters. People are still going to be excited for it. They're going to get up for it. It's the last home game, like you said. Exactly. So.
I think it should be a great crowd. And I think, look, that's a game BC should win.
Yeah.
That's not maybe. That's a should win. This is, like we said, this is a Florida State team, again, having a down year. You're coming off of your coach being fired. The program's kind of in turmoil. That's got to be a really tough situation for the players. That's BC always plays up on Red Bandana. There's always more excitement. There's always more people in the stands. Yes, it's a noon game on a Saturday. It's still going to be the same, though. You're still going to have that level of excitement and energy. That's a game that BC must win, in my mind.
Yeah.
Because then after that, the following week, you go into Notre Dame. You have a bye. BC has their second bye of the season. Then you go to Notre Dame on November 23rd. The Holy War is back, as some might say.
Yep.
Notre Dame ranked 15th in the nation, barely survived Virginia Tech last weekend.
A game that they should have lost.
Yeah. So this Notre Dame team has not looked as good as everybody thought, right? They started the year with college football playoff expectations. At the end of the day, it's still Notre Dame. It's still a team built on 4- and 5-star recruits. Still going to be a very, very tough task. One that most likely I don't think I see BC winning.
I don't see BC winning that game. That being said, it has been kind of a popular pick. It's kind of like a sleeper, like big upset kind of game, just because BC is going to have the extra week to prepare. Notre Dame has looked beatable. Notre Dame has a tendency to play down to the level of their opponents. We see it all the time.
Yeah.
We saw it last year with Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt should have won at Notre Dame last year. Then this year you mentioned the Virginia Tech game. So I think Boston College... You know, could we go in there and steal a game? Absolutely. Do I think it's going to happen? Not necessarily, but it wouldn't be the most surprising upset in the world. Again, like I said, that's kind of been a sleeper pick for a lot of people. And, you know, I think Grissel, we talked about him being, you know, kind of a gunslinger. He's managed the offense very well so far, but he does have that cannon of an arm. He's the kind of guy that, you know, if he gets hot, I could see Boston College, if we take the reins off a little bit, you know. We're going to be playing with house money, right? We have nothing to lose in that game. Right. I could see Boston College going in there, taking some chances, like what we were planning on doing with Clemson until Anthony Brown got hurt last year. You know, you implement a bunch of different plays. You have 2 weeks now to prepare for those plays, start running those plays, some trickeration, some misdirection, and you never know. Hope the defense steps up, and we'll see what happens. But like you said, Jack, you know, that's me trying to talk myself up and get myself excited for that game. I don't see BC going into Notre Dame and winning a game.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I like what you said with the 2 weeks to prepare. You know, don't be surprised if you see BC going with some of their classic trickery, which you see them, they like to do that. Adazio loves to do that in big games. Regardless, that looks like, I mean, if you just look at the schedule, you kind of chalk that one up to a loss just based on the talent on paper.
Right.
And then the following week, you go into Pittsburgh. And this is we talked about this a little bit earlier in the podcast, a very interesting game because, yes, Pitt is sitting at 6-3. But at the same time, you know, this is a team that barely beat Delaware. They beat Delaware by 3 points. You beat Syracuse by 7 points. But they've looked good at times too, right? You beat UCF, and you know this is a team that held Penn State to 17, and only they lost 10-17. So they've had their good moments, they've had their bad moments. They are on the weaker side of the ACC, and I think that's part of the reason that their overall record is so inflated.
Right.
I still don't know. I mean, I feel like that's kind of a toss-up. I think BC is playing much better football of late, and I think you know they definitely have a chance to go in there and win that game. But at the same time, I think if Pitt plays the way they're capable of playing, they're definitely a formidable opponent. So I chalk that up to be somewhat of a toss-up game.
Yeah, I think Boston College can take care of business in that game. And in some ways, I expect Boston College to win that game more than I expect us to win the Florida State game. Just because Florida State, yes, they've had a down couple of years. They're still a very, very talented team. They still are built, like you talked about Notre Dame, still built on 4- and 5-star recruits. Francois is a very, very good quarterback for FSU. Pitt's just not that team. I think that Pitt is more comparable to us talent-wise than Florida State is. I think that if you, realistically, if you just look at raw natural talent, I think that you would give the edge to Florida State. And I think that there have been a lot of other problems in that program where that have prevented them from kind of playing up to that level. But, you know, like I said, DeAndre Francois is a guy that every year they talk about him, this is going to be his year, this is going to be his year. So Pitt's just not that team. I think Pitt is built more on the same caliber of recruit that Boston College is, and I think that Boston College is going to be able to go into Pitt and take care of business there, especially because that game is over Thanksgiving break, so there aren't going to be any students there for Pitt. It should be an empty stadium. And we've seen that, you know, the last 2 years, the road team has won in the BC game over Thanksgiving break. BC went up to Syracuse last year, won at the Carrier Dome. This past year, same thing, kind of an empty alumni stadium. Syracuse comes in here and takes care of business. So I think the Boston College should and will take care of business at Pitt.
Yeah, I mean, I pulled Pitt's schedule up here. They beat Georgia Tech by 10. They lose to Miami 16-12 in an interesting score. They beat Syracuse 27-20. They beat Duke 33-30. You beat Delaware by 3 points. And then you beat Ohio, not Ohio State, Ohio University, 20-10. So a lot of their wins are, very small margin of victories against teams that aren't that great. To beat Delaware and Ohio University by a combined 13 points, that's not impressive.
No.
So the more I look into this, I can see that. And so you look at those two games, like we said, if BC wins both of those games, assuming you win those two ACC games and lose to Notre Dame, you'd be looking at a 7-6 team, which... 7-5, so the status quo.
Right.
Which is what we see a lot from Adazio, but you would be looking at a team that goes 5-3 in conference, which would be, like we said earlier, the first time they would have ever done that under Adazio, which is a huge accomplishment, especially considering a lot of people saw this as a down year.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's still a lot to be said, right? There's 3 games left, a lot can happen, but this BC team has put themselves in a better position than we thought they would be in just 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Even you go back to the Kansas game, after that loss, a lot of people are like, okay, that's definitely tough. Is this the true colors of this team? So, not only are they putting themselves in position for a bowl game, if you're 7-5, and like you said, you can make a case that you're one of the better teams in the ACC, especially if you beat Pitt, who's one of the better teams on the other side of the ACC. I think it's Pitt and Virginia are 6-3, so one of those teams will play Clemson.
Yeah, and I think UNC is up there too.
Okay.
Yeah, so those three I think are battling it out.
No, UNC is 4-5 overall.
Oh, okay.
So you have Pitt and Virginia are both 6-3.
Okay.
Virginia's 4-2 in the Coastal, so they will most likely play Clemson and lose.
Yep.
If we beat Pitt, we show that we're better than Pitt. Yes, Clemson's the number one team out of the ACC. Yes, Wake Forest is number two, but you can make a case. BC's the third or fourth best team out of the conference. That sets you up for a pretty good bowl game, especially if you're 7-5.
Absolutely. 7-5 BC team coming out of the ACC. If they get the respect they deserve, and if people, you have to trust that the people making these decisions are looking at it and saying, Pitt might have an extra win here, but they were also on the weaker side. Same thing with Virginia, right? They're on the weaker side. And if BC, if we get a late December bowl, you take that all day long. And I know I'm sounding like a broken record here, but going into a rebuilding year, if you're not only bowling, but one of the premier bowls that the ACC is going to get, I think that bodes very, very well for the future, because then think about it too, you get that extra month of practice, right?
Right.
So whenever you make a bowl, you get an extra month of practice, which just helps the team that much more, not only for the bowl, but going forward, right? It's an extra month where this offensive line gets to gel. It's an extra month where the defense gets to work on their schemes. It's an extra month where Grissel gets more comfortable with the offense. It's an extra month of rest for your workhorse backs. So I think that bodes really, really well, not only for this year, but building forward into the future.
Yeah, no, and I think this goes without saying, but at the beginning of the year, there was talk about, you know, especially after that Kansas loss, talk about Adazio's job security and, you know, does he deserve to come back next year? And I think if he's able to not only get this team to a bowl, but to go in, you know, if you go into a bowl at 7-5, I think it's really without question that he will be back next year, especially considering what he was given this year.
Exactly.
Which, again, is a complete 180 from where we were just a couple of weeks ago, which kind of shows you how up and down this BC football season has been. But they've really put themselves in a great position here.
Yeah, yeah, no, this team is in a great position, and you talked about Coach Adazio. I am a huge proponent of Coach Adazio. I think the fact that there's something to be said for making a bowl every year, and that's what he's done. Like we talked about throughout this podcast, BC wins one more game this regular season. We have three chances to win one game. We set the school record for most consecutive years in a bowl. And just being able to consistently make postseason play, people get bored of it, right? People here are saying, oh, you know, we're never in contention to win an ACC. Yeah, well, you have a powerhouse Clemson at the top of the conference, then something crazy would have to happen, right? For us to be able to compete with them. We'd have to get the next Matt Ryan or the next Doug Flutie, a guy that grows up around here and wants to play here. So I think that if you're consistently making postseason play and it's good for athletics, right? You get the name out there. You generate a lot of revenue doing that. And I worked with a couple kids who went to Wake Forest, and they said, the best case scenario for our football team would be to make a bowl. And we've made five or six straight bowls.
Right.
So I think that there's something to be said for that, and people have gotten used to postseason play to the point where they don't really appreciate it enough. But again, I think that the consistency that you have playing in this conference with year in and year out one of the worst rated recruiting classes, and yet you still pump out 7 wins at least every year, you take that as a win, and I think it's a testament to Coach Adazio and his consistency in being able to continually win games. The games that he should win, he wins for the most part. And every once in a while, you steal a game, right? We stole the game against USC a couple years ago. So I think that he's done more than enough with this team, a team that some people said, you know, would win only 3 or 4 games this season, to come back next year and to continue to build with this younger group, this next kind of group of football players. You know, like, we lost so much last year. I think this group that we have now could be the core of a group like we had last year, a year or two down the line.
Yeah, no, and I think I can see both sides of the argument, right? At some point, it's like, you know, can we do better than 7-6? Is that our ceiling with Adazio, right? Yes, you're getting bowls every year, and I can see how after a certain point of time, it's like, well, can we try to do a little bit better? At the same time, looking at what this team has been this year and what Adazio was given, and you look at the injury to Anthony Brown, and you look at losing so many players on defense on that offensive line, to lead this team not only to a bowl game, but if he's able to go 7-5, I think that's a huge testament to what he's doing as a coach, and, you know, a huge testament to what he's been able to do with not that much. So I think that would be a huge vote of confidence for him. And I think that'd be a win for this season. I mean, that is outperforming expectations on this season. That's doing as well as you did last year with a team last year that had much more talent. So it should be interesting. It's funny that we've gone 180. You know, in the beginning of the season, we were starting to question whether or not he would be back next year. And now it's praise for how well he's done with this group. But it really has been an up and down season of BC football. And we're excited for these final 3 weeks and hopefully to get another big bowl game come late December,
absolutely,
or January even.
Yeah.
So with that, I think that just about wraps it up. Make sure to tune in. There should be a preseason basketball podcast coming up soon. BC basketball season starts this Wednesday with a conference game against Wake Forest here at Conte. Should be an interesting season. We've got a lot of hockey left, a lot of basketball coming up. So it should be a lot of information getting out there and a lot of big games on the radio coming up. So once again, I'm Jack Salmon, joined by Matt Marosco. Thank you for listening to this WZBC podcast, and make sure to check out some of our other information in the future.
We'll pass over to Sanford. Sanford gives it to Tuck. Tuck with a shot. Oh! Oh! Tuck scores! Eagles win! The Eagles have won the 2016 Fiend Bunt Championship!
Catch all the excitement of Boston College Athletics right here on WZBC Newton 90.3 FM. As BC's only student radio broadcasting organization, WZBC Sports brings a different viewpoint of college athletics to the table. Our student commentators know the campus, student-athlete culture, and latest beat on the teams like no other media outlet, thanks to our dedicated coverage of Boston College sports. Check out our broadcast or weekly talk show schedules at www.wzbcsports.com and get a refreshing take on sporting events at the Heights and beyond.